Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Now, the Philippines today announced that it's lifting the ban on non-essential travel and allowing hair treatment in salons, even as COVID-19 infections rose by a quarter in the past week. It has the second highest number of infections in Southeast Asia after Indonesia and has the fastest rise in cases since June 1st when the capital region reopened. Even so, key government officials are calling for further easing of virus curbs to reignite the economy as it faces its deepest slump in three decades. And this story is not unique across the region with fresh spikes in COVID-19 numbers. But what does this mean for regional economies as they battle to recover? Well, we're joined on the line by Antonio Fatas, Professor of Economics at INSEAD, to find out. Professor Antonio, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So first tell us, Japan, the Philippines and Australia, they're all seeing spikes in new COVID-19 cases as restrictions have been eased in recent weeks to boost stalled economies. To what extent will these new waves of COVID-19 derail economic recovery?
I mean, I'm hoping that they don't. A lot of these new waves, were expected. We knew that we had not defeated the virus anywhere around the world. Mm-hmm. So I think we all expected new cases coming up everywhere where you sort of start opening up and you start going back to normal business. The question is, how do you control it to a point that you don't have to go back to a situation where you have to lock the economy again? And I think that's the key element for all the countries that you mentioned, and in fact, any other country in the world.
And that is an issue as well in terms of, you know, not reverting back to lockdown measures, which we've started to see in the US, in pockets in the UK, and in pockets in Asia as well. So, you know, how can these regional economies strike a balance then between, you know, controlling this second wave, but at the same time, managing their economies and, you know, stimulating that local business growth?
I mean, I think you have to use the smartest possible tools to control the virus without having to resort to going back to a lockdown of the economy. And those tools, as much as we know today, are testing people, tracing people that have the virus, and then using face masks. And obviously, some countries are not doing great with these smart tools. In particular, the U.S. is struggling with all three. And the only thing they can do is go back to a situation where they start shutting down certain businesses and start reducing mobility. But obviously, that's the most hurtful solution for the economy. I think we need to be smart and we need to cross our fingers that those tools help us navigate the next months.
So do you think this second wave has already been factored into growth forecasts, economic forecasts for the region?
All the forecasts we've seen coming from any place, either at the world level, from the IMF, from the World Bank, or at the regional level, I think everyone is assuming that there's no second wave that implies going back to a full lockdown. Mm-hmm. I think everyone understands that life is not going to be normal for the next month, maybe for the next year. But no one yet is putting into their forecast a full lockdown again in these economies. So if we were to go into that direction, I think we will have to revise our forecast down.
Is that something that you're looking to do, though? Because, you know, now we're not just dealing with a pandemic. I mean, there are other issues at play on the wider economy in the region as well, with news out of Hong Kong and China. We've also got a plague that's popped up this week, too. Bubonic plague has resurfaced. So there are many macro issues at play.
Yeah, I'm trying to remain optimistic, but there's obviously a lot of uncertainty. Many things can play against us. But at the same time, we're doing some progress in some treatments of the disease. So there's new treatments coming out every day and being tested. And maybe by the fall, we'll have treatments that will be a lot more effective than one we have today. There's a possibility of a vaccine starting sometime in the fall or the winter, which again will alleviate a lot of the concerns we have. But all these things are uncertain. So am I ready to downgrade my forecast? Yes, but not yet. I'm still crossing my fingers and being hopeful that a lot of these things will work over time and will manage through the next months with a forecast which is still negative as it is today, but it doesn't get worse.
Well, always good to have a little bit of optimism. But maybe you can tell us what shape recovery are you looking at? I know that you published an article earlier on in the crisis back in April, but now we're hitting into July and quite a few things have developed. So what kind of recovery are you looking at for regional economies?
I mean, I think what we're seeing, we saw it in Asia, we saw it in China a couple of months ago, we're seeing it in Europe as well. As economies reopen, you have this boost to growth. So you see what people call a V-shaped recovery. So people mm-hmm. get very excited when growth comes back. But the reality is that it doesn't come back to the same level. It's not that we're going back to normal. So after this boost, you get sort of a plateau. And you get a shape that looks almost like a square root shape. So it's very sharp at the beginning, but then it sort of plateaus slowly back to normal. And that's, I think, what we see over the next months, both in the region and the world. We're going to see 6 months to a year more of a situation where we're not back to normal. It's going to take probably until the end of 2021 or maybe early 2022 to have a level of activity which is similar to what we had before the crisis.
We're speaking to Antonio Fatas, professor of economics at INSEAD. So maybe you can tell us then, looking at this long prolonged base shape for a recovery. You know, we've seen multiple record stimulus measures to support economies around the globe. And, you know, we've got further moves out of Malaysia today, not in terms of a economic stimulus boost, but we have seen Malaysia's central bank cut its key interest rate for a fourth straight meeting as it looks to grapple COVID-19. What next from the region? You know, because there's only so much money that you can pump in to keep the economy afloat. You can encourage people to wear masks and you can enforce lockdowns. But what next? What are you looking for?
I think I'm looking for more of the same. We're using economic policy in a very aggressive manner, but I think that's the right way to deal with this crisis. This is a very unusual and very deep crisis. So every country that I can think of, whether it's an advanced economy, whether it's an emerging market in Asia, in North America, in Europe, everyone is being very aggressive, central banks and government, and they'll keep being very aggressive. I think their language is very clear, which is they'll keep doing whatever they need to do. Mm-hmm. So if the economy bounces back very fast, we'll ask for less help from them. But if the economy stays stagnant for a while, we have a second wave. I expect all these actors to play, again, a very strong role in the fall.
The next question that I wanted to ask you, I saw a survey that had been put together by Reuters and INSEAD, and it found that business sentiment of ASEAN companies sank to an 11-year low in the second quarter of this year, with some two-thirds of the firms polled flagging a worsening COVID-19 pandemic as the biggest risk over the next 6 months. And that's not a huge surprise, but can you tell us more about the findings and where we are now?
So this is a survey that we run every 3 months. So mm-hmm. the one you're referring to was run in June, and the answers were coming from the previous couple of weeks. Now, in some sense, those answers were coming at the worst possible times. Mm. That's when many of the economies around the world were still in lockdown and there's still very lack of clarity on what was happening next. Now, my sense today, we're in a better place. You see it in financial markets. You saw it in the stock markets yesterday. I think there's a lot more confidence that we're moving in the right direction. We're not out of the woods. We're not out of a crisis, but at least we're moving. So I'm expecting our next survey, which will be in a couple of months, I think we'll have a more positive view, still subdued. It's not going to see a lot of excitement, but at least we're going to see little by little the end of this tunnel.
Okay, so a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel for businesses. And if you're looking at segmenting the businesses across the region, were there any particular sectors that were more optimistic?
I mean, at that point, I don't think anyone was being optimistic. Mm-hmm. Of course, some of the industry was coming back little by little to normal life. But some of the services, in particular tourism or mm-hmm. travel, I mean, they were nowhere going up, of course, because they were still at the bottom. And if you ask today, my guess, they will still be at the bottom. I don't think you will see a lot of action in those businesses either.
Yes, I understand participants included Thai Hospitality Group, Minor International, and Japanese automaker Suzuki Motor Corp as well. So yes, next question that I wanted to ask, and really the last question, is going into the second half of the year, what are the key measures that you're going to be looking out for?
I mean, at this point, I'm almost not an economist. I've become a scientist. I'm spending my time looking at how the virus is spreading, whether we have more cases, more deaths, fewer deaths. I think that's the key message here. The key message is this is it's a public health crisis. Mm-hmm. There's an economic crisis that came with it. But fundamentally, if we manage the public health crisis, this is going to be excellent news for the economy. If we don't, then I think we're going to have a forecast for the year, which is going to be even worse than what we see today.
And it's difficult to measure on a case by case, a day by day basis as well, because we do see multiple news stories coming out of different vaccine developments from around the globe. So tracking it can be quite challenging to see where we are now.
It is, and to me, as someone who's been doing this for a long time, this is one of the crises where I have a harder time making a forecast because my views change every day, every week, as data comes up, as new information comes on new treatments, new vaccines, and sometimes they're positive, sometimes they're negative, and that changes my outlook dramatically from one day to the next.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your insights. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Antonio Fatas, and he's a professor of economics at INSEAD.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.